Peter chapter 1, we are going to continue looking at the subject of greater works tonight. Amen. And if it seems as though there are a number of facts that we have repeated, it is deliberate because we're obeying the law of scriptures. By the law of repetition, we're able to bring about persuasion of the truth. By the law of repetition, we're able to bring about persuasion of the truth. Hallelujah. See, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. I am my Father's son. God is my Father. I am in the name of Jesus. I am born of the Spirit. The spirit realm is where I live, where I come from, where I stay. Hallelujah. Now, there is a conviction that follows our confession once we are abreast of certain facts. And those facts need to be repeated over and over until it takes hold of our consciousness. It reflects in our speech, it reflects in our prayers, it reflects in our conduct. Otherwise, we'll be paying lip service to the Word of God. Now, a believer paying lip service to the Word of God does no good. You will end up deceiving yourself, which is you're simply paying lip service. You don't understand what you're saying. You're not working in the reality. Either you're getting any results as far as the experiences prescribed in scriptures are concerned. You will get frustrated after a short while. And I've met believers who have been frustrated. Okay, who tried something else? Let me use that phrase. That's what happened. They tried something else. You know, that's in, let's try what is working. And that's when trouble starts. Okay? Because the most potent thing in the universe is the Word of God. Say with me, the most potent thing in the universe is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you something in Psalm 138. Before I go on to that verse, Psalm 138, before I go on to 2 Peter, you know, there are some things you say that the Spirit of God will direct you. Because you said those things. We're looking at greater works. Okay. Are you there? Verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness. And for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I know it's interesting the way this was rendered in the King James. Because it looks as though God has magnified his word above all his name. But if you check out that translation, so what he's actually saying is not that he has magnified his word above his name. What he's saying is that he has used his word to magnify his name. Hallelujah. He has used his word to magnify his name. His name stands for his character, his integrity, his personality, who he really is. He has used his word as a means of what? Magnifying his name. So when we're studying the subject of salvation, remember we're looking at what the prophets diligently inquired into. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. When we're looking at greater works, we're actually looking at salvation from a particular angle. We're looking at something that we already have, which we have received, okay? Which we have believed, wherein we stand, but we're looking at it from an aspect or an angle. 2 Peter chapter 1. Did I say 2 Peter? Okay, it's 1 Peter. And I got there, I didn't see what I was looking for. I knew it couldn't be 2 Peter. Okay, are you there? Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that is come unto you. Notice that the prophets inquired and searched diligently. That means the prophets spoke some things forth by the Spirit. Then they began to try to find out, because the things that they spoke out was clearly by the Spirit, in the sense that what they spoke could not be fabricated by the human mind. So the prophets spoke out, then they inquired and searched diligently. What were they searching? They were trying to find out what those things meant. Number two, they were trying to find out the time of his fulfillment. So he says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied, okay, as we're moved by the Holy Ghost, they prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. So Peter had an audience. Peter was writing to believers who were already saved, those who had already received salvation. So he says, what you are enjoying, what you are presently established in, the prophets have searched diligently. In other words, the details, the plan of salvation was revealed by God through the mouth of the prophets, what we call the Holy Scriptures or the New Old Testament Scriptures. Okay, so he says the prophets who prophesied, they sat diligently, they spoke of the grace of God that should come unto. Say, the grace of God has come unto me. So look at the next verse. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand. Beforehand means that long before the time frame of manifestation, the Spirit that motivated them to speak, that Spirit testified through them. What did it testify? He's giving us a summary. This is not all it testified of. This is not a detail. This is a summary of what the Spirit that was in them. So when they prophesied of salvation, who were they speaking about? Who were they speaking about? Christ. And by speaking about Christ, who else were they speaking about? The new creation. Did you see that? Look at verse 10 again. I want you to see. It says, of which salvation? So the salvation you're standing in now, which you are enjoying, it says, the prophets have inquired and said diligently. So as they spoke it first, in their minds they were like, what is this? What does this mean? When would this come to pass? Okay, so they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Something that you will experience, which you have not experienced. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before and, look at it, the sufferings of Christ and what? And the glory that should follow. So, everything Jesus went through from the cross to the throne, the prophets testified of that suffering, but they didn't stop there. The prophets testified of the glory that will what? Follow. Did you see that? So, the Old Testament scriptures, we call it the mysteries. The New Testament or the epistles are a revelation of those mysteries or the explanation of the mysteries. So, in the Old Testament, the prophets, by the Spirit of God, they spoke of certain things that will happen at different times in different separate portions of Revelation. They spoke out things that were too wonderful for their minds to understand. And as they were speaking, they were wondering, what kind of people will this be? When will this take place? When will this manifest? Because when you're reading now, you're reading it is easier for you to understand because you are in the fulfillment of those things. But if you're standing where they stood, you may not understand how excellent, how marvelous those plants seemed in their life. That is this possible? Remember, they were part of the old creation. So God's plan, God's purpose, spoken through their lips, and that's a fundamental operation of God. God does nothing without saying it first. Whatever God will do, how do you know we do it? He will say it first. It's a fundamental principle. So the prophets prophesied. So they framed the dispensation we are in by the Spirit of God through the utterance that was given to them. So they spoke about the beginning, they spoke about the end. They spoke about what will be done for salvation to come. They also spoke about what salvation coming will do to humanity. So they spoke about the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that should follow. Say, I am in the glory that has followed. Hallelujah. So part of that glory, what the Bible calls greater works. Our text has been John chapter 14 verse 12, isn't it? Jesus said, verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and what? Greater than this shall you do, because I go unto the Father. I go unto the Father is a reference to the glory that would follow. But it has been prophesied. It has been spoken. When you understand the details, that you are living the reality, listen carefully. You are appreciating more if I put it this way. I want you to imagine in the day of Isaiah, Isaiah spoke about you, having never met you. David spoke about you, having never met you. Okay? Moses spoke about you, having never dreamed about your kind before. Same thing with David. Now, if they spoke about you, having never met you, and here you are, then we can trust in their prophecies about the glory that will follow. How many of you agree with that? If they never saw Christ, if they never met Christ, if they never fully understood what it meant for Christ over, but they spoke it first, and they were accurate, and we've seen Christ crucified, we've seen Christ raised from the dead, we've seen Christ ascending, then we can be sure whatever they said in advance about new creation is also reality. How many of you agree with that? Hallelujah. That's so important to understand. So that's why on the day of Pentecost, Peter began to speak from the mysteries or from the Old Testament scriptures to explain what was happening. The manifestation was there, but the understanding of manifestation wasn't in the manifestation. It was in the scriptures. Which means if you can find it in the scriptures, it brings about a persuasion that other things which were spoken also in the scriptures will be a reality. Step by step. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, when he appeared to those two on the road to Emmaus, one of the things he told them in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, said, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning from Moses and through all the prophets, he opened his eyes to understand the things concerning himself." Why was he doing that? He was showing them, not from his physical presence with them that he rose, but from the fact that, can you see in detail, step by step, as each of these people pointed to the things that will happen to me and the fact that I will rise again. So Jesus was telling them, if those things happen, like they said, you shouldn't be surprised that I'm standing before you now. Hallelujah. In other words, if you can trace your heritage through the scriptures, you can trace where you will end up. They never met him, but they spoke about him by the Spirit. Look at the way Peter puts it. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1. Going, looking at greater works, I want you to have the boldness. I want you to have the understanding. I want you to have the persuasion. I don't want you to take this as air knowledge. This is one of those topics we're studying. This is life-changing truth that should reflect in your life and experience. 2 Peter 1:16. See what it says. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Did you see that? Peter is speaking about their persuasion, our faith in Christ. When we preach the resurrection of Jesus, we are not following cunningly devised fables. Jesus. We have not based our persuasion, our entire faith, on lies that men frame together. That's what Peter is saying. We have not followed. So Peter is bringing a strong witness. Peter was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus. Peter ate with the master before he went to the cross. Peter ate with him when he rose from the dead. So Peter is saying, listen carefully, when we present to you the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, we are not following tales and stories cleverly fabricated by men. Look at what Peter said. He says, the power and coming there is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what the power and coming represents. So he says, but we're what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. That means Peter was saying, I was there. Nobody told me. It's not reported speech. I was personally there. You would think that was enough. But look at what Peter said next. For he, that's Christ, received from God the Father what? Honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from where? Excellent glory. Saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, Peter is referring to Matthew 17 here. How many of you remember that story of Jesus on the mount? Isn't it? With Peter, James, and John. And when he was transfigured before them. Okay, and a cloud covered them on the mountain. That's Jesus and Moses and who? Elijah. What does Moses and Elijah represent? The law and the prophets. Okay? So, and it was a spectacular manifestation. Peter, James, and John were there. I want you to imagine how Jesus revealed himself to them. When he was transfigured, means that his true personality was fully revealed. That means the veil of flesh was lifted. They saw him as really is without the veil of humanity. It was transfigured before them. Now, we can't go into that tonight, but what they saw was they were caught up into a vision. That vision was a vision of the New Jerusalem. That was the only place where Elijah and Moses could appear, because when they appeared to him, they appeared in their resurrected bodies. Hallelujah. That's the only time they could have their resurrection. So, it was a future event brought to the present. It was a spectacular manifestation of God's power. I don't know how you think when you're looking at scriptures, but I do a lot of meditation. Now, Jesus at that time was yet to go to the cross. Jesus was yet to resurrect. I want you to see how God carefully frames events. And what God has said through the mouth of the prophets till the very end, the end portion of it manifested in a vision. That is something that's yet to happen. They saw. God is a master planner. His plans can't fail. That was Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah in the New Jerusalem. That was God telling them that in Christ, listen carefully, in Christ, Moses got to the promised land. Even I look at the backside of my face, I knew. You know, when Moses was denied entry to the promised land, it was the physical part he was denied. The reason why Moses didn't bother to beg God to plead was because that wasn't the real promised land. Christ was his promised land. And he knew he was going to get there. So he didn't struggle with them. Do you understand? It's just like you believing that when God told Abraham, come out from your people, from your kingdom, unto a land I will show you. When Abraham got to Canaan, God spoke about the land he will show. So Canaan was in the land. The land is a new creation in Christ. It was a spiritual land. He went after it by faith. Hallelujah. So Moses, got to the promised land in Christ, or he wouldn't have been in New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's back off from there. We talk with our other. Is that okay? But here's what I want you to see. The event that was futuristic, that was yet to happen, Peter, James, and John witnessed it. He said, we were high witness of his glory. We testified unto you the power and the coming. He says, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made some things a reality or a possibility. So before it happened, they saw some things. So look at what Peter says. He received from the Father honor and glory. When they came, such a voice from excellent glory. So the law and the prophets. Or what did the Father say? He didn't say much. He said only one thing. They saw the law. They saw the prophets. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented who? The prophets. And then the Father said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. What does that mean? Forget the law. Forget the prophets. This is the one that makes sense. Without him, the law and the prophets don't make sense. The purpose of the law and the prophets is him. So if you remove him, there's nothing in the law and the prophets. That's what God was trying to say. And he did. Look at the next verse. So he says, next verse. And this verse which came from heaven we had when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Next verse, quickly. We have also, what? A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well to you take it. Answer to what? A light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns, and the day that does what? Arises in your heart. Complicated statement, but easy to understand that, that we're in the New Testament. What is he saying? We have also a much older prophecy. Again, King James' way of rendering it can be a bit confusing. What really is this? We have the word of prophecy made more sure by our eyewitness account. Was it written in the scriptures? Yes. We're not telling you what was written in the scriptures by the prophets. We have witnessed it. That's what it's saying. You understand that? So we have the word of prophecy confirmed. That's what Peter is saying. He says, well, do you do well? He says that you want take it as unto a light that shines where? In a dark place. What is the light shining in a dark place? The word of prophecy. What's the word of prophecy? Jesus took them through the scriptures to show them things concerning himself. If he had to take them through the scriptures, it means the things that were written were not plainly seen. If you understand what I'm saying. If Jesus had to take them through the scriptures, to take them through means that he came through the scriptures and opened their understanding to what they had read. They didn't know it was Christ. So, he says, you do well to pay it as unto a light. What was light shining in that place? What the prophet says about Jesus was a light shining in obscurity. It wasn't fully seen. It wasn't fully understood. Hallelujah. It was in dark speeches. So he says, but when you take heed to that, the outcome of it is that the day star or the fulfillment arises in your heart. As the fulfillment arises in your heart. As it arises in your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if we trace those things back all the way, we have the word of prophets more fulfilled. We know the prophet spoke about companies and groups of people that will be. Let me show you just maybe one of them. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I read from verse 15. That's when he's speaking about the new creation in prophecy. Okay, Psalm 89 verse 15. Are you there? Blessed is the people. You know, look at this kind of English. You know, when you say blessed, I want to mention people. What should you say? It's not blessed are. Just stay with this English. Just stay. Blessed is the people, listen, that know, listen, the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, where? And the light of thy countenance. So that you can tell he's not talking about any nation on the earth at that time. Look at the next verse. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Did you see that? What does in thy name mean from what you now know? What does in thy name mean from what I've taught you? In your authority, in light of what you have accomplished, in your status, in your position, in your influence. So he says, in thy name shall they what? Rejoice all the day. All the day is not talking about weak days. All the day is a reference to the day of salvation. Okay? Are we in the day of salvation now? Yes. So in your name will they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be. Have we been exalted? In whose righteousness have we been exalted? Hallelujah. So this is the believer in prophecy. This is the believer walking in greater works. So look at the next verse. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our own shall be what? Exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the only one of Israel is our king. Glory to God. He's talking about a new creation. That's not talking about any race known on the earth at that time. It's a prophetic reference to the new creation. Psalm 110. Because if you can find in scriptures, now, this is the prophet now who spoke about the sufferings of Christ, the glories. That is part of the glories that follow. You notice there's no suffering of Christ there. What do you have there? The glories that will what? That will follow. Check out that scripture to find the sufferings of Christ. Okay, so look at Psalm 110. You then? Verse 1. I love this verse of scripture. Jesus used this verse to bamboozle the Pharisees many times. Okay? And the way he did it was this. You people say you know the Bible. Okay. If David is the father of Christ, why then does David call him Lord? They were confused. He said, what do you mean? He now quoted this verse to them. Look at the quotes to them. The Lord said unto my Lord, David is wonderful. If you two were David, what would you say? If you see this by revelation, the Lord said to my Lord, which Lord said to which Lord? The Lord said to my Lord. In fact, the people that translated it, because out of reverential fear, what he really said was, Jehovah said to Jehovah. So they were like, ah, no. Jehovah said to Adonai, they changed it. But what he said was, Jehovah said to Jehovah, sit down. The minute you read that in a context, remember, well, let me finish before I say anything. See, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down where? At my right hand. If I tell you to sit at my right hand, were you at my right hand before? Were you at my right hand before? Okay, so the Lord said unto my Lord, so these two people are lords to David. Yes or no? So, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of where is Zion? Where is Zion? Okay, what is Zion? Hebrews 12:22. What does it say? You are come unto. Are you really on the mountain? No. It's a spiritual depiction of the church. Zion is a church. See, Zion is a church. Okay, so it says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength. The rod of strength is the greatest exercise of your power. Will come out of where? Out of Zion. It says, rule thou where? In the midst of thine enemies. Pause. Rule thou where? In the midst of thy. So are there enemies? Are there enemies? When Zion is made manifest, what will happen? We will rule in the midst of where? Our enemies. The one enemy said, does it make you remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod. So you notice, It uses the word rod there, which expresses authority. The word that I said, they comfort me. Isn't it? Thou prepares a table before me. Where? So is the table a physical table? What does table signify? Something waiting for you to enjoy from. So if you follow Bible speak, Bible language, a table will imply a feast. The only difference is that the same way you have a physical table and you have food laid on it, you have a spiritual table and blessings are laid on it. If you understand what I just said, let me say that. If you have a table prepared, it means you didn't have any role in making it available. What is your part? Listen carefully. For it to be prepared for you. Okay, I'm saying many things. I'm trying to slow down. If a table is prepared for you, who is more important? The table or the person is prepared for? So, whoever prepared the table, considers who the table is prepared for, what? Important. So, he has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It means that the rulership, the authority, the standing, the righteousness that you have is right where enemies are, and there's a reason. So the enemies are still there while you are walking in victory and dominion. Remember, before he mentioned the table at all, before he mentioned, he spoke about some things that have happened. The Lord became your shepherd. And so you don't want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures, which is the word of God. He leaves behind still waters, which is the word meditated upon. Okay? He says, it causes you to walk in paths of righteousness, so you are walking in the reality of who you are. He now says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the earth. The spiritual state of the earth is the valley of the shadow of death, because as long as the enemy is here, there's a shadow. But you will fear no evil. Hallelujah. For he's with you. His word and his word. His staff. So that rod now, if you now understand what it calls rod, based on Psalm 110, is that rod a walking stick? Because in Psalm 110 verse 2, he calls it the rod of your strength. So what will rod stand for? Authority. Your rod and your staff. So now, I'm plugging scriptures together to let you see how to interpret. If your rod and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Your what? Your the what will comfort now mean in the light of what you just read? You know, comfort can be. Sorry. It's okay. Everything will be fine. You don't need that kind of comfort when you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't. Okay? Shadow of death means authority of death. That's what shadow of death means. So, it tells you who is ruling or who is reigning, who is in operation in that sense. So, it says, your rod and the staff, they comfort me, means they give me boldness to walk through. Your authority is my confidence in walking through. I'm trying to show you what greater works means. Why you, if you don't need the authority Jesus won't give you, you need it. You need it. You need to understand how it works and how to use it. You need to understand how it works. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So his authority emboldens you while you're walking through situations on this earth. You have prepared a table before me. So it's not as though he walked and walked and arrived at the table. He's just using another figure of speech to express what the believer has now. That prepares a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Where are you coming from? Assuming you're on a journey. Little valley of the shadow of death. Is that where enemies are? Yes. Where you arrive at again, where enemies are. So he's using table now. What did he use before? Valley of shadow. And he uses what? Rod. Hallelujah. So what does he say about the table? You have prepared the table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. What does cup running over now signify? Listen carefully. If you use the word cup in the Old Testament, it signifies portion. If they give you a cup, means what's your lot, your portion, your cup. It's like God maintaining your lot. So your portion, your inheritance is what you factor out of your cup. It now says your inheritance is running over. Or what you have as inheritance is more than what you need in the valley of the shadow of death. Glory to God. Are you with me tonight? So what you need What you have and is given to you is much more than what you need. That's what it means for your cup to run over. He's using figure of speech. Look at Psalm 16. It looks as we're in the book of Psalms today. David has captured us. Psalm 16. Glory to God. Let's start from verse 7. Or verse 5. Psalm 16 verse 5. It will amaze you that in the day of Pentecost, David was more quoted than any other of the Old Testament prophets. Okay? Peter started quoting what happened concerning their speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. He started with Joel. He spoke a few verses from Joel. He quoted 11 verses from David alone to explain it. So David is not a minor prophet in that sense. Where salvation is concerned. Okay, so see what it says. The Lord is a portion of my word, inheritance, and of my... He's talking about the same thing. Your cup is your portion. Your cup means your inheritance. Okay? He says, you maintain my Lord. Lies are falling onto me where? In pleasant places. Yes, I have a good heritage. What's he saying? He's talking about the cup. He speaks about your portion of your inheritance. Isn't it? So he says, I'll bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Notice that. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me when? In the night season. Why is his reign instructing him? The word the reins here is a reference to his spirit. Okay? My spirit instructs me. In it. What are night seasons? In times of difficulty. Why is the spirit able to instruct him? The answer is the previous part. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me what? Say, counsel is in my spirit, for my spirit is of Christ. Christ has made unto me wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. So, counsel is in my spirit. Look at the next verse. I have set the Lord always before me. This is a prophecy about Jesus as he went to the cross. I have set the Lord always before me. Or he said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So I have set the Lord always before me. Or he knew that God was me all through. See what it says. He's at my right hand. Actually, the right thing is saying, I am at his right hand. I won't be moved. Let's read on. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. What is hope? Supernatural expectation. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the grave, fully knowing it will come out. That's what he's saying. It wasn't the hit and miss affair. It had been outlined in scriptures. It was so outlined that the words Jesus even spoke on the cross was prophesied. Can't you imagine that? Even what he said while he was there. So it was impossible for him not to resurrect. Think about it. What he was saying on the cross, David spoke it by prophecy. My God, why have you forsaken me? Did Jesus say it? Did Jesus say it? Who said it first? David. David said Jesus said it, and Jesus did. Think about that. So when Peter said we have the word of prophecy more confirmed, he's telling you the word of prophecy can be trusted, can be depended on. We are eyewitnesses of our prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. That everything, let me put it this way. He was saying if you follow the words of the prophets, Christ was following the scripts. That's what he was saying. Christ was following the scripts. Say, my life is scripted in Christ. I can't miss it. There's nothing haphazard about my future. My future is planned. Hallelujah. I dominate in all situations. I am a master of situations and circumstances. I am never at the mercy of the elements of this world. I rule and reign through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thou will not leave my soul. Look at how Peter put it. He said it was impossible for death to hold him. But Psalm says, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine only one to see corruption. The one who spoke this saw corruption. His name is David. But the one he was speaking about never saw corruption. So he spoke on the behalf of Christ, or he put in prophecy the words that was on the lips of Christ when Christ went through his sufferings. So this was one of the scriptures Jesus showed them when he showed them the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. He showed them the scripture. that when David spoke here, he was speaking about me. What was Jesus trying to prove? Was he reason when he was speaking to them on the road to Emmaus? Yes. What was he trying to prove? He was trying to show them why it was impossible for him not to resurrect. If you see why it was impossible for Jesus not to resurrect, you understand what greater works are. If you see what greater works are, you will know why it is impossible for you to fail except you want to. Hallelujah. Except you just want to. It means in prayer, in standing, in status, in placement, in position, by inheritance, you have moved beyond failure. You have moved beyond. Your life is not guesswork. Your life is not happenstance. You are beyond, I hope it happens. You are where it happens. You are so scripted, you can't fail. I want you to imagine a generation arising that the angels were waiting for the prophecy to be fulfilled. That where are those that they said we will serve? And you are in that company. Hallelujah. Where are those that the Father says we will serve? Until you came, they couldn't serve like they could serve. So your coming enhanced the ministry of angels. Your coming gave angels full responsibility. That is, they realized their own identity when you came on the scene. Hebrews 1:7. Are they not all ministering spirits? So Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministers sent forth to minister for them that shall be what? Heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? They were sent forth to minister. So they couldn't operate in their full orbit until you came on the scene. You couldn't come on the scene until Christ suffered. And Christ couldn't rise, or you couldn't be until Christ rose from the dead. And Christ's resurrection was scripted. Say scripted. Say my life is scripted. The prophet spoke about me, and I will come in Christ. I am here now. The victory, the glory, the dominion, the success spoken about me is a reality today. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. So when I pray, I'm praying in victory. When I speak, I'm speaking in dominion. When I confess, I'm confessing my mastery. I'm not hoping for things that will be. That was for the prophets. They inquired and searched diligently. What manner of time the Spirit of Christ which in them did signify? When he spoke about the surface of God and the glories that follow. But we are in the glory that followed. Glory to God. And the glory that followed is the fulfillment of prophecy. You are the fulfillment of prophecy. Glory to God. So when we are praying now, we're praying with a different understanding. We're praying with a different comprehension. Tongues is supernatural proof that we're in greater works. Tongues is supernatural proof that we're in greater works. Tongues is enough to let you know that you are your Father's son. That sonship only came into existence after Jesus rose from the dead. And sonship means all the Father has, you have. Glory to God. Where were we now? Psalm 110, verse 2. We're going to rush quickly to John chapter 16 shortly. Glory, glory, glory. The Lord shall send. So notice, shall, futuristic prophecy, he shall. He shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule thy way in the midst of thy enemies. Look at verse 3. Glory to God. Thy people. Who is it referring to? Verse 1 again. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at one, my right hand. Who is the Lord that said to which Lord? We said yesterday that until the incarnation, we couldn't see the Son, we couldn't see the Father. Who did we see? Just God. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit. To sit, listen carefully, is a form of demotion. Let me explain what that means. When I say demotion now, it means that someone or God had to divest himself of his authority, because who else can God submit to? None. So in order for him to become man, he had to divest himself of his glory, majesty, and influence. And in becoming a man, we saw the Father's character fully revealed in the Son. But the Father became the Son became subject to who? To the Father. Do you understand now? So he had to become less than who he really was in order to fulfill the plan of redemption. Now, here's what Jesus now said. He said to us, John chapter 14, now quickly, John chapter 14, verse 12. In order for me to get you to walk in certain dimensions of power, I need to open your eyes to see this truth so clearly that when you stretch forth your hands, you will never think they are ordinary hands again. When you pray, you will never hope it will work again. There will be economy of expressing power. You know what economy is? Now, you know, if you are not really ready, no, let's waste time. If you are really ready for works, let's pray now. You won't rush to agree with people. You want to find out what they believe before you agree with them. Because you know that on your part, power is about to be released consciously. You hear what I said? Power is about to be released consciously. You know who you are. If I tell you I'm a man, am I boasting? No, am I boasting? If I tell her she's a lady, am I complimenting her? Well, in Nigeria, you're complimenting. Because I tell you, is everybody in female form that's a lady? But if I tell my man, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying it as it is. I can't afford to say less. That's the truth of the matter. So our confession rises up and matches our consciousness of the Father's revelation concerning us. You will never be able to speak up to that level. You will speak only at the level of your experience until something changes in your consciousness. That's the way it works. I can try to school you. I can use propaganda. I can use many things to try to train. But training that way is not the best thing. What you really need to have is a revelation that automatically enhances or elevates your consciousness, and then your confession matches up to who you really are. And the minute you begin to speak at the level of who you really are, that means that the average believer speaks at a level lesser than who he really is at all times, or most of the time. If a believer speaks at the level of who he really is most of the time, you will see more consistent demonstrations of power. Because there's no lack of power where a believer is concerned. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Very well, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater. Notice what works is satisfied. And greater than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What does it mean for him to go to the Father? What does it mean for him to go to the Father? Hallelujah. We'll do written exam. The way we are going. We'll be doing written exam in church, because we must be, I can't teach this for how many weeks now. You are still. But when you get outside, you may explain it. What does it mean for Jesus to go to the Father? He will die and he will resurrect. What will happen in resurrection? He will what? He will ascend and sit. So going to the Father is sitting at the Father's what? Right hand. So Psalm 110 verse 1 says what? The Lord said to my Lord, do what? Sit. So when was that prophecy fulfilled? When Jesus rose from the dead and sat where? At the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it means. So I go to my Father is a fulfillment of the prophecy, sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Then I explain to us, till I make your enemies your footstool is not the word till that really explains what happens. It means sit in order that I may make your enemies, or have given you this authority to put your enemies under subjection. Hallelujah. Is that, do you understand that? Now, who has the authority? Who has the authority? Who has the authority? Christ. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. Quickly, because of our time. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto who? Unto who? Unto me. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. Stop. Exceeding greatness of his what? Power. Okay? We've expressed what exceeding greatness means, that power that surpasses over and above what is necessary. So, does that begin to look like my cup runs over? Does it look like that? Is your cup running over? Okay. Your rod and your staff, the what? They embolden me. So, the valley of the shadow of death and the rod and the staff, if you follow the imagery that the psalmist used, you know, the valley of the shadow can't be a real shadow. It simply means a place where demonic powers are at work or they operate. So if you are using that a rod and a staff, you know you cannot undo those kind of things. So the rod and staff is authority. Hallelujah. And his authority is so overwhelming that it encourages and emboldens you in your work, that you are not afraid. Because he said, you will fear no evil. You can't talk about not fearing. Is there no opportunity to fear? There must be opportunity to fear before the Bible says, no, don't fear. Okay? He says, so you fear no evil. That means to fear evil is what the average man will experience. But because his rod and staff has comforted or strengthened you, you will fear no evil. Do you see? So the Lord will send the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule down in the midst of your enemies. In the day of his power, his people, you are his people, they shall be willing. Again, let's break it down a little bit. The day of his power will now be what? We'll come back here. Psalm 110 again, please. I need you to get this tonight. I'll say more about it tomorrow so that you it will sink. What is the day of his power? Psalm 110, verse 1. Let's be together again. The Lord said unto my Lord, do what? Sit down at my right hand until I make my enemies. Has that happened? When did it happen? When he went to the Father's right hand. Okay, so next thing he says, the Lord shall send what? The rod of his strength out of Zion. Is Zion in existence already here? Yes. What is Zion? The church. So he will send his rod out of Zion means he would demonstrate his authority through the church. Is that it? So he now says, rule that way in the midst of your enemies, thy people, who are the people? Zion, shall be willing. What will make you willing? He says the day of his power. The day of his power is the day of salvation. The day of his power is the day of his authority. But here's what we have taught. The day of his power, which is the day of his authority, is not the day he exercises authority personally. It's the day we exercise his authority. Hallelujah. The day of his power is the day of his authority. He just said, the Lord will set the rod of his strength. We know what the rod represents. It's an expression of what? Authority. So if we send the rod of his strength out of where? Zion. What is Zion? The church. Isn't it? He now says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. He now says, in the day of your power. When is the day of his power? Today. Today, where he is seated at the Father's right hand. He says, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. So remember again that Psalm 23 and what it says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they want. What does comfort now mean? They embolden me. So thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. Are you honest? Do you understand what that willingness now means? It means you'll be fully persuaded. You will know what the rod of strength stands for. Because you are the one exercising that rod of strength out of Zion. Hallelujah. You are still looking like you are in Jeremiah. Come back where we are now. Okay. That bush shall be in your power from in the beaches of holiness from the womb of the morning. That was the dew of thy what? Youth. So what is he saying? All those prophecies are speaking about the reality of the authority we have today in Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down. Has that happened? Yes. When did it happen? When Jesus rose from the dead and he sat at the Father's right hand. What is the next thing that will happen? He tells you. He will send the rod of his strength. So it shall means futuristic. It hadn't happened when the psalmist was prophesying it. He will send the rod of strength, or he will exercise the authority through the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. So let's replace I go to my Father with I go to the Father's right hand. I go to the Father's right hand. I go to the Father's right hand. What does it mean to go to the Father's right hand? Matthew 28. Glory to God. Notice, we're saying the same thing. We've used different scriptures to say the same truths until you will get it that the culmination of all what the prophets have said is the suffering of Christ and the glory that will follow. Now we're explaining part of the glory that will follow. We've spoken about the sufferings in different ways, how they happened. So, go ye therefore and teach, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all authority. That's what the word power here. There are two words of power. There's dunamis, there's what? Exousia. So this one is exousia, authority. right, privilege. All power is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore. So, when did Jesus, did he have all power before he rose from the dead? No. So, at his resurrection, ascension, and sitting, what does he now have? All power. So, when he was telling him, I have all power, what else does he mean in the language of David? I am seated at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that simple? I am seated at the Father's right hand. So, to sit at the Father's right hand simply means all authority the Father has is exercised through who? Through Jesus. Or Jesus has it. That means the Father can't exercise any authority outside the Son. All the Father does, he does through who? Through the Son. That's what it means. That's what all authority. All means all. There's none. How high is our authority? That is what the epistles were given to us to comprehend. How high, how strong is our authority? So Ephesians 1:18. Hopefully we'll stop there. Glory to God. Now, if you understand everything I've just taught now, tonight, if you ever accidentally, mistakenly have a bad dream, you wake up hungry, you sleep rejoicing. Let me explain. You wake up angry at the fact that they had the temerity to come into your dream. Your dream. You know, sir? That is your dream. Imagine somebody coming into your room unannounced. My room. So when they come to your dream, that is actors are playing on the screen of your mind that you didn't pay for or invite. You first sack the director. You first sack the director. Then dismiss all the actors. Then invite fresh actors. You now become the director. Now tell them, as I'm going back now, play the scene out well. How I get money. Play out the different scenario now. How money will come to me. How I will get contracts. How I received a lot of 500 million. You don't tell them. I'm telling you my own. You better write your own. You better write your own. Because, yeah, because how can people be playing? It's your dream. You need to be angry. My dream. They're even telling you what to do. Inside your dream. You should wake up very angry. You shouldn't wake up as a praying. Oh God, Jesus, so. Don't confuse the angels of God. Easier. See one of the people they say we should not serve. See how he's misbehaving. He's in the highest position in the universe. He is far above all prosperity and power. Look at where he's jumping. Just because one demon is bringing tricks. You wake up very angry. That, okay. I understand you now. It's not your fault. It's that film I watched yesterday. That's why I'm misbehaving. Before I open my eyes. And I'm going to close them again now. If I see any of you, if I remotely see any, if I hear cough, FM. You get very angry. What's the meaning of this? How can a believer wake up? He's buying and cast because of what he saw in the dream. In a dream. When your life is regulated by the word of God, the word already clearly spells who you are, spells your outcome, spells what should happen in your experiences. The sister now brings a light. Somebody, you know, I like what the way Emisa put it. That if you see a dream where they were being terrorized, you had a terrible accident, you know, this Ember months. I don't know where people get this. He said, "Mama, that you are going to have." Let me tell you what's happening. Satan is showing you what he wishes. It's a wish. It can't happen. He's just saying, "I wish this will happen." Wake up and laugh. You also know it cannot happen. That's why you like saying, "You are just wishing." It will die in your heart as a wish. It can never happen. Because my steps are ordered by God. He's just showing you, I wish this will happen. I know. Sorry. It can't happen. No matter how much you wish, it's too late. I'm your master in Christ. Do you understand? You have to have that kind of boldness. That's why understanding is so important. You can't have a hazy idea about authority. You have to have clear facts, specific details, that you are the fulfillment of God's plan for mankind. Glory to God. And for me, oh God, must. So see what he says again. He says, what is the exceeding greatness of power towards what? Who believes? Say, I believe God's power is exceedingly great in my direction. It says, and according to what he was my power, which he has already accomplished in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand where? In the heavens. Look at the next verse. Because if you stop here, you have missed the whole intent of that chapter. The intent of that chapter is to tell you what has happened to Christ, what Christ has accomplished, so you can now see what has happened to you. So if you stop at verse 20, you still don't know what has happened to you yet. Look at the next verse. Far above, it's still telling you the extent of Christ's authority. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Name that is named means every position that is in existence. Every position that is in existence. Every name that is named. And that says, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It's telling you about the permanent nature of that authority. It will not change. You can't be demoted. You can't be dethroned. Christ is enthroned forever. So also are you. That's what it means. Look at the next verse. And has put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And the church is his body. The church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. Say, I'm a member of the church. I'm part of the church. I have the fullness of Christ. I have all his authority living in me. I'm an embodiment of his authority upon the heart. I'm far above all principalities and powers and all dominion and every might and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no fear here. There is no fear here. There's no fear here. There's only boldness in Christ. I have a holy boldness in Christ Jesus. I'd walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they embolden me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's who we are. I mean, you go to a village where you went to a wedding or something, you have to sleep overnight, and there are witches there. You are in your realm. You are at home. I mean, this is why. Far above. Not above. Far above. That's where no meets. That's as long as you are there, meetings can hold. So they are waiting for you to leave. Not that they are chanting me, saying, you, as you are going to sleep, now you wake up. Say, you shouldn't have said that. Thank God for the Spirit of Christ. You shall leave. As you have to extend life to the person. Because in that way, that thing you have just said now, I mean, we are not meets. Imagine a conductor talking to the governor. Where are you going? Where is who going? That's the end of your conductor work. When your eyes are open, you will be in prison or locked up. We're not on the same kidder, on the same level. We're not operating even in the same realm. We're in marvelous light. They are in terrible darkness. And the light is authority. And the darkness is a form of authority also. But they are so far apart. The light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot even remotely comprehend it. Think about it. We are in marvelous light. They are in terrible darkness. The Bible says they are chained in darkness. We are elevated in light. Can't you see we are far above? Can't you see we are far above? Greater works. We walk in the reality of his splendor, of his majesty upon the earth. We can't be confused. Our kind can't be stranded. We can't be trapped. We are not of those who pray without answers. We pray in the answer. Hallelujah. We pray in the answer. We are not asking for victory. We are in the victory. We are praying in the victory. We are maintaining our position. We are maintaining our lot. The cup of inheritance is being expressed every day when we pray. Glory to God. It's whatever we don't want to see that will not happen. Whatever we decide will happen, it must happen. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Well, stand to your feet tonight and give God praise and give him thanks in the Holy Ghost. Let's go brastafraka stile gishte. Let's so brostafraka tie. Let's she bro sevrasti bro guta caste. Let's so crostafraka tile gishte. Pray the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus. There will be supernatural comprehension of these truths in your heart, that your consciousness will rise up in the reality of who God has made you in Christ, that your authority will dawn upon you in the days ahead, that the days ahead you will need that authority, in the days ahead you will walk more and more through the valley of the shadow of death, but you will fear no evil. There will be a supernatural comprehension, a supernatural awareness of your authority in Christ, that these truths will have a grip upon your soul, they will have a grip upon your mind, they will have a grip upon your consciousness, that you will no longer be afraid of anything, of any evil, of any situation, of any challenge, of any circumstance, but you will take charge, you will take control in every arena. You will raise the dead this season, you will cast out devils, you will get supernatural answers in the place of prayer. You have been honored in Christ, you have been exalted in Him, you are a man of no mean stature, you are a creature of excellent greatness in Christ Jesus. Are you sensing in my heart that there are people here tonight who need urgent intervention? Urgent intervention where God's power is concerned, and as a church, we just stand together with you. So if you're in that kind of situation, can you just signify tonight? You need something, it's urgent. Your intervention is urgent. You need urgent intervention in the name of the Lord Jesus. So while I'm on several dakila shtaka, listen. We're going to pray now. And when we pray, it will be a roar in the spirit. It will be a roar in the spirit. And it will sort out every situation. Are you ready? Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Shekubra dastora. Suka. I see mighty works springing forth through men in this same place. In this same season where people are saying things are hard, I see massive interventions by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Give Him praise tonight. Give Him thanks. Father, we exalt You. We praise You. We praise You. We kalumund le frusta gashte. Resuza vratu gili. There's nothing left. Nothing left. Oh, can the saint live with no challenge by time? Yes, it's possible. But the overwhelming victory that's in Christ. So there will be a mop up. A complete causing to cease to be. That which is called affliction. That which was once a challenge. That which was once a limitation. And poli leno sande elekito joko savre elekita. A new day, 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 a new day. Fresh, fresh, fresh manifestations. Fresh testimonies arising from the same old victory of the cross, for He has triumphed gloriously. He has triumphed gloriously. And the believer, the saint, enjoys His triumph every single day in every single area. We give You praise, Father. Oh, glory to Your name. Oh, glory to Your name. Oh, glory to Your name. Thank You. Woo! Senukalamashte. Sisum gradabu, osa savre nike, ishuko barati, ha ha ha, sakalieta kile kiste, eso lukrati niste, plans so clear, plans so plain, in the hearts of the saints, 2019, a year that is full, plans so clear, no dilly dallying, no hesitation, no doubt. A holy boldness upon the heart of the saints. Plans so clearly unfolded by the Father in the hearts of His sons. The sons marching on, and the strength of the Master accomplishing great things. Even in the first quarter, much will be done that will surpass the previous years. Yeah, lenuka, lesuko, le crash tikide, a sound coming to the hearts of the believers. A sound coming out of the hearts of the believers. Giving direction. Making things easy. Bringing in the right associations. Removing obstacles. Clearing the path. Making the path straight. The ability of God as a sound. Proceeding from the believer. Clearing the path and making the work easy. And there shall be much progress. Lesu, leka, ni itu shata. That which you couldn't do. Even from the first quarter of the year. For you said there were no funds. There will be more than enough. There will be more than enough. There will be more than enough. And you will do. And then you will do. And then you will do even more. You will do. And then you will do. And you will do even more. For you see, your feet will get to places he never got to before. Your feet will take you to places by the leading of his spirit. You find yourself. For you have not been applauded for long, neither have you been appreciated for long. But you find yourself in a place of applause, in a place of celebration, in a place of approval. You will be approved. For the splendor of Christ will find expression in and through you, and men will approve, and men will appreciate, and men will applaud. For some things will happen and take place in 2019. You will say, if only I'd made bigger plans. So make bigger plans now. For swiftly, some things will be executed. So fast, you will say, I wish I'd reached out for more. For there's more for everyone who wants more. More for everyone who wants more. More for everyone who will boldly step out on the imprint of the Father's heart on their heart. For within your heart, the workings of God will come in a prompting, in a leading, in a perception. As you step out, you will find overwhelming supply. As you step out, you will find overwhelming support. As you step up, you will know you have entered into that which was scripted before the foundation of the world. And you will walk effortlessly. You will say, where is the ability coming from? But you will know it comes from the strengthening of the Father in the Son. You will see his grace through you light up dark places. Dark places will no longer be dark. They will be clear as noonday. There will be no confusion in your heart. But there will be a clarity born of the Spirit, born of the revelation of the Word. You will be confident, and you will walk, 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 and do great things. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this fellowship of grace. Our eyes see ahead. We plan. We walk in what you revealed unto us. We walk in light of your grace. We are obedient children. We walk in line with the leadings of your spirit. There's an urgency about the leading of your spirit to do all we were designed to do. To express all you put in us to express, that the light of the risen one will shine to all the corners of the earth. The men will be rescued from calamity, men will be saved from disaster, because your light shines through us. Your love for souls fills our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. 19. If you know any young man who is involved in what they call Yahoo Yahoo, I want you to start praying for them and to do your best to reach out for them, to extend salvation to them. There will be a very serious mop-up in 2019. And some of these young men will lose their lives. Some of them will permanently be imprisoned. There will be a very serious mop-up in 2019. So if you know any of them, I want you to, those you can speak to, I want you to trust God for boldness and just go ahead and speak to them. And then those you can pray for, please pray for them. Because, you see, sometimes if you stand aloof from them and you're making fun of them, you don't know what they are into. They're in a cycle, a vicious cycle. They've tasted what they ought not to have tasted. And so it's difficult to get out. It's difficult to get out. So it takes power to bring them out. Hallelujah. So we are receiving light and instructions and direction because it takes power to bring them out. So you don't mock them. You pray for them that they will come out. And then you give a word. Well, that means you preach to them to get them out of that vicious cycle. Okay? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Hallelujah. Please don't forget the instruction. Okay? Specifically those who are involved in Yahoo Yahoo. Okay? Because in 2019, there will be a serious mop-up against them. There's already a plan in motion. There will be a serious mop-up. And a number of these people are very young men. They don't need to lose their lives. They don't need to spend the rest of their lives behind bars. Okay, so we have to reach out to them. I will trust God that many of them, in the name of the Lord Jesus, they will be saved. They will be saved. They will be delivered from the clutches of wickedness and darkness. In the name of Jesus. Amen.